crucial confrontations, tools for resolving broken promises, violated expectations, and bad behavior. Authors: Carrie Patterson, Joseph Grenny, Ron McMillan, and Al Switzler. What's a crucial confrontation? A crucial confrontation consists of a face-to-face accountability discussion. Someone has disappointed you, and you talk to them directly. All crucial confrontations start with the question, "Why didn't you do what you were supposed to do?" And they only end when a solution is reached and both parties are motivated and able to comply. How to get your head right before opening your mouth. Anyone who has dealt with crucial confrontations realizes that a person's behavior during the first few seconds of the interaction sets the tone for everything that follows. Here's what it looks like. Another person does something, and, as a result, we're propelled to action. Here's the path we take. We see what the person did, and then tell ourselves a story about why he or she did it, which leads to a feeling, which leads to our own actions. If the story is unflattering, and the feeling is anger, adrenaline kicks in. Under the influence of adrenaline, blood leaves our brains to help support our genetically engineered response of fight or flight, and we end up thinking with the brain of a reptile. We say and do dim-witted things. Choosing silence or violence. Silence. Not everyone who tells himself an ugly story angrily leaps into a crucial confrontation. The vast majority is inclined to walk away, fearing of getting into a heated argument, or believing it is better not to deal with issues the first time they occurred. When you move to silence, one of two bad things happen. Either you give tactic approval to the action, or each time the other person repeats the offense, you see it as evidence that your ugly story about his or her motives was correct, and it's only a matter of time until you blow. Violence. Eventually, as problems gnaw at you, there comes a time when you can stand it no longer. You leap from silence to violence. When you move to violence, you no longer keep crucial confrontations professional, under control, and on track to achieve a satisfactory ending. In fact, when you move to violence, the consequences can be nothing short of horrendous. How to handle crucial confrontations. 1. Don't play games. The first technique is the result of good intentions and bad logic. It's called sandwiching. You honestly believe that you have two equally poor options, either to stay quiet and keep the peace, or be honest and hurt someone's feelings. Use sandwiching in an earnest effort to be both nice and honest. To soften the violent blow, you first say something complimentary, next, you bring up the problem, and then you close with something complimentary again. 2. Don't play charades. Rather than come right out and talk about a problem, many people rely on nonverbal hints and subtle innuendo. This vague approach is fraught with risk as people may not get the message. 3. Don't pass the buck. Some leaders erroneously believe that they can play the role of good cop if only they can find a way of transforming their boss into a bad cop. Nothing undermines your authority more than blaming someone else for requesting what you would be asking if you had any guts. 4. Don't play read my mind. Some believe that since people benefit from learning on their own, then don't come right out and tell them about the actual fraction that has you concerned. Instead, allow room for self-discovery. This tactic is as irritating as it is ineffective. Despite good intentions, asking others to read your mind typically comes off as extremely patronizing or manipulative. Describe the gap. A gap here is a difference between what is expected and what actually happens. To ensure that you set the right tone during the first few seconds of a crucial confrontation, carefully describe the gap as follows. 1. Start with safety. When another person has let you down, start the confrontation by simply describing the gap between what was expected and what was observed. Don't play games. Merely describe the gap. 2. Share your path. As a general rule, when you're sharing your path, it's best to start with the facts, what you saw, and what you heard. Don't start with your stories. If you do, people are likely to become defensive. Instead, describe the observable details of what the person did, along with the result. 3. End with a question. Now it's time to bring your opening paragraph to a close, still maintaining safety. End with a simple diagnostic question. What happened? Make this an honest inquiry, not a veiled threat or an accusation. As you finish off your description of a failed expectation, your goal should be to hear the other person's point of view. How to help others want to take action. When people choose one action over another, it's because they're betting that the action will generate the best result. Since any action yields a combination of results, some good and some bad, it's the expected sum total of the consequence bundle that drives behavior. If you want people to act in another way, you have to let them know how different behavior would yield a better consequence bundle. Don't use power to motivate people. Raw power, painfully applied, may move bodies, may even get people to act in new ways, but it rarely moves hearts and minds. hearts and minds are changed through expanded understanding and new realizations. The flagrant and abusive use of authority guarantees little more than short-term bitter compliance. Connect short-term benefits with long-term pain. Show how the short-term enjoyment the person currently is experiencing is inextricably connected to longer-term problems. Place focus on long-term benefits. If a person can suffer a little now, delaying gratification in order to serve a longer-term goal, life gets better. Introduce the hidden victims. Describe the unintended and often invisible effects an action is having on others. Hold up a mirror. Describe how a person's action is being viewed by others. Connect to existing carrots and sticks. This is typically not the best starting place, but eventually, you may want to talk about rewards. Help others see how living up to an expectation advances their careers, enhances their influence, puts more money in the bank, or reduces their risks. How to gain commitment and move into action. We finish a perfectly good crucial confrontation, and then make sketchy plans that are peppered with vague, unspoken, and unshared assumptions. A complete plan leaves no detail to chance. It sets clear and measurable expectations. The key to making a complete and clear plan, free from all assumptions, is to make sure to include four key components. 1. Who? Someone's name has to be attached to each task. Someone needs to be in charge or accountable. 2. What? Ask if there are any questions about quality or quantity. Ask if everyone has the same characteristics in mind. Ask what might be confusing or unclear that has to be clarified now, in advance. 3. When? When it comes to setting follow-up times or deadlines, you'd think there would be no room for confusion. But consider the expression, "I need it next week," for example. This may be specific. If you're perfectly happy to receive the finished product anytime in next week, you have a clear agreement. 4. Follow-up. Decide when and how you'll follow up on what's supposed to happen. Normally, people want to feel at ease, not stressed. Holding others accountable, particularly if you have to be honest, is stressful. So individuals rationalize and choose niceness over following up. But you can actually follow up with people and be a decent human being. In fact, the converse is also true. If you don't follow up, you're being unkind to everyone, allowing failure to eventually destroy results and relationships.